ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः इट् इस् स्वीट् दट् मन्त्र फस्ट् चाप्टर् Fourth Brahmanam, tenth mantra. Brahma va idamagra asit. Brahma va idamagra asit. Tad atmanameva vet. Tad atmanam eva vet. Aham brahmasmiti. तस्मात् तत्सर्वम् अभवत् तद् यो यो देवानाम् प्रत्यबुध्यत सः एव तदभवत् तद् अथर्षीणाम् तथा मनुष्याणाम् तद्धैतत् पश्यन् ऋषिः वामदेवः प्रतिपेदे अहम् मनुरभवम् सूर्यश्चेति तदिदम् अप्येतर्हि य एवम् वेद अहम् ब्रह्मास्मीति स इदम् सर्वम् भवति तस्यः न देवाश्च नाभोत्या ईशत आत्मा ह्येषाम् स भवति अथ योन्याम् देवतामुपास्ते अन्यो असावन्यः अहमस्मीति न स वेद यथा पशुः एवम् स देवानाम् यथाह वै बहवः पशवो मनुष्यम् बुज्जुः एवम् एकैकः पुरुषो देवान् भुनक्ति एकस्मिन्नेव पशावादीयमाने अप्रियम् भवति किमु बहुषु तस्मादेषाम् तन्न प्रियम् यदेतत् मनुष्या विद्युः अ सिम्प्लि रेड् द होल् मन्त्र द टेन्त् मन्त्र वि हव् सीन् द होल् मीनिङ्ग् ऐ थिङ्क् आन् सण्डे क्लास् वि हव् सीन् साटर्डे क्लास् आल्सो वि हव् सीन् आल्मोस्ट् द होल् मन्त्र इफ् यु नॉट हैव लेफ्ट् So, this mantra, 10th mantra, begins with an answer. The one mantra begins with an answer for the question, how did Brahma become everything? How Brahman became everything? Brahman, by knowing itself, he became everything. Brahman knew itself. Brahman, by knowing its own self, it became everything. Which means, Brahmava idam agre asit. So this sentence is a very important sentence. It's a Brahma Kantika mantra. It's called Brahma Kantika mantra. Why? Because the whole mantra begins with the word Brahma. Like in Taittiriya Upanishad, also the Brahmanandavalli begins with the word Brahma. And here this mantra begins with the word Brahma. Therefore it is called Brahma Kandika mantra. And it, when this sentence comes, Brahmava idamagra asit, this one sentence we have seen three classes. Brahmava idamagra asit. I mean, this sentence, when it comes in other Upanishads, how it is interpreted and how it is to be understood in this Upanishad. The difference I taught, two classes I explained how this should be understood in other, it is explained, interpreted, in other Upanishads. how it has been unfolded in this Upanishad. We saw in both the classes. So, Brahma va idam agra asit means there the word idam stands for this jagat. This universe was before nothing but Brahman. The entire universe was before Brahman. Before means before manifestation, the universe was Brahman. The known universe was Brahman before it became manifest. Therefore, Brahman and universe are two different names given to one and the only reality obtaining in the form of knowledge. The reality, when the knowledge is unmanifest, it is called Brahma. When the power of reality is unmanifest, it is Brahma. And the power of reality manifest is universe. So power of the reality, Brahma Shaktihi, when it is Avyakta Shaktihi, then reality is called, power is not manifest, the reality is implied by the word Brahma. And the power of reality is manifest, then same reality is implied by the word universe, Jagat. Then we also give another title, Ishwaraha. This is the meaning, we usually, the word Idam means this universe. Brahma Asit. It's a known universe. But now here it is said, Brahma Va Idam Agra Asit means this Jiva the knower. Not the known universe, here the knower Jiva. So Idam Shabdaha stands for the knower Jiva. In other Upanishads, Idam stands for the known universe. And here, this object universe. And here, it means the knower Jiva, the subject. This Jivaha, this knower Jiva, knower I, the Jiva, was before it was Brahma. Means before the, here it is not, you can say not manifestation, here you say, before it became manifest. See, it is made very clear what is here, this knower Jiva, this knower I, before the manifestation of this I sense, before the manifestation of Aham Vrittihi, what was Brahma. Therefore, we can say Ajnana Avastayam. Or we can say, in other words, Ajnana Avastayam. Ajnana Avastayam, there was only Brahma. So, Jnana Avastayam, Jivaha. Which means, Upanishad assumes, makes us assume that we are all now Jnanis. We are Brahma Jnanis. Now we all have this knowledge, Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi Jnanam we have now. That I am Brahma. So before this Jnana, now this I the Jiva, I am Brahma. Jnana Avasthayam Aham Brahma Asmi. Ajnana Avasthayam, before there were, when there was no knowledge, there was ignorance. So, Ajnana Avasthayam, what was this Jiva? Ajnana Avasthayam, Jivaha. So, this Agre means not the manifestation alone. Before the total manifestation of knowledge, when there was the partial ignorance was there, partial knowledge was there, there was knowledge, I am, but there's no knowledge what I am. So before this, when there was ignorance, what was Brahma. But Brahman only, but Brahman was the form of Jiva. And after in Jnana Avasthayam, same Jiva is understood as Brahma. Which means Brahman and Jiva. Jivatma and Paramatma are the same, one and the only substance, only reality, is given two different qualifications, titles as Brahma and Jiva. Only thing is, the conditions are different. So in the state of ignorance, Brahman alone is given the name Jivaha. And in state of knowledge, same Brahman, same Jiva is looked upon as Brahma, understood to be Brahma. Therefore, Brahman and Jiva, already this sentence, Brahmava idamagra asit, reveals the Jiva Brahma Aikyam. This is what we understood in the last class. And therefore, tad atmanam eva avet. So that Brahma knew itself. It means it discovered itself. Thereby, aham Brahma asmi iti. Brahman discovered that I am Brahma asmi iti. Thereby it became what? Tasma tat sarvam abhavat. So sarvam abhavat, thereby it became everything. So sarvatmatvam sarvabhavatvam, enjoying the status of being everything. It was already there. But still, because of ignorance, there was asarvatvam, means not being everything. There was limitation. Asarvatvam means the limitation here. The limitations were superimposed upon Brahma in ignorance. But in knowledge, limitations are not removed here. Only the limitations being not there is understood in knowledge. There's only limitations being not there is only discovered. Limitations are not removed, not eliminated. Brahman was always limitless. Before also limitless, now also it is limitless, it is ever limitless. So being limitless is Sarupma Brahman. Therefore, being everything is also Sarupma Brahman. Therefore, in ignorance, Brahman being everything is not known. In knowledge, Brahman being everything is known. So in ignorance and in knowledge, Brahman is always everything. So it is said, tatsmat tat sarvam abhavat. It became everything, not by really becoming. Just knowing it is everything is what? Becoming everything. So here, which means we have to see everything. The one who was ignorant of Brahman was Brahma. One who wanted to know Brahman was Brahma. And one who had aspiration to know Brahman was Brahma. And one who approached the teachers is Brahma. And the one who teacher who teaches is Brahma. The teaching is Brahma. And the one who attains jnanam is Brahma. And after having attained jnanam, the one who says, aham Brahma asmi is Brahma. Isn't it clear for you now? Okay, this is what we have to see here. Who is the one who wants to know? Who is the one who is, no, who wants to know? Who is the one who studies the Shastram? Who is the one who attains jnanam? And who is the one who claims aham Brahma asmi iti? Everything is Brahman only. This is some understanding. But here, having said that, and Upanishad, the same mantra tells, whoever has this knowledge becomes Brahma. Thereby becomes everything. So it may be devas, it may be manushyas, it even rishis, whoever had this wisdom, whoever discovered Brahman as being the self, they became Brahman, thereby they became everything. So sarvatma bhavaha, sarvatmatvam, you know, that I am the whole, that vision was there for who, everyone, whoever had this knowledge that aham Brahma asmi. So manushyaha, devaha, rishyaha. So mantra just states everybody, whoever has this. One more thing he says, suppose if whether a devaha or a manushyaha or a shihi, whoever has this wisdom and whoever claims this fact that aham Brahma asmi, that nobody can be deprived of that vision, nobody can prevent one from attaining that vision also. And once having discovered this fact that aham Brahma asmi, then can anything else in the world, any other devas do any harm to this person who knows this fact? No. Because the devas themselves, this person who knows the truth, we happens to be the very self of every being, self of everyone. No one, nobody, nothing in the world can do any harm to this person. Because this person is that self, that person's self is the self of everything. Because even the jnani atma becomes, he is already the atma of all the devas. Even devas cannot do anything to this wise person, jnani. Therefore, having said this much, the same mantra, Upanishad says, if there is a person who says, I am different from this, the devata I am worshipping, the devata worshipped by me is different from me. If a person has this understanding, then definitely that person does not know. He does not know. So, yaha anyam devatam upaste, anyaha asau, anyaha aham. This devata I'm worshipping is different from me. I, the worshipper, am different from this devata worshipped. If anybody has this understanding, na saha veda, that person does not know. Thereafter, Upanishad says, I'm concluding with mantra. Yatha pashuhu eva saha devana. So, just as these animals are used by the human beings, how animals serve the human beings, being inferior in their knowledge to the beings. So also, these ignorant human beings also will be like animals to the devas. We'll be serving the devas. Lord Upanishad says, why animals serve us? How is it possible for us to make use of animals for our needs? Because we are in knowledge wise, we are superior. Animals are inferior in their knowledge. Therefore, we are able to use them. They serve us. So Upanishad says, Yatha pashuhu nam manushyanam. So pashuhu yevam saha devanam. The same way this ignorant person is like animal for the devas. One who does not have understanding is like an animal, which means devas, we will be serving the devas. So we will be offering oblations to devas, and they will be enjoying our offerings, and which means performing rituals. This sort of a service will be there always throughout, as long as ignorance is there. This is how even devas, once a person attains jnanam, then there won't be need for him to perform any ritual or any pleasures. He will not be interested in enjoying the pleasures of higher worlds. As I said, once you are blessed with the full vision of fullness and reveling in the vision of fullness, having this luxury of reveling in the vision of fullness, then definitely one cannot have desire for any time-bound pleasures. Even pleasures, heavenly pleasures, also time-bound in nature. Therefore, naturally, the desire for time-bound pleasures will resolve on the part of a person who revels in the vision of fullness. Therefore, then even the wise person, it is not possible for a wise person to perform ritual or to practice a meditation for the sake of enjoying some heavenly pleasures. Even the desire for to go to heaven will not be there. Therefore, he won't perform rituals, which means the devas will not have their oblations. Therefore, it seems Upanishad says, even devas will create all sorts of obstacles in attaining the jnanam. So that as long as we are kept ignorant, we remain ignorant, devas enjoy us. They can enjoy our service to devas. And therefore, they may cause some obstacles. That's what Upanishad says. But how, that's a different, that's only, that is said simply to make us understand. Not that really devas come and really, that devas have a mind, they will come and disturb us or anything. Our own paradha can retain us from attaining jnanam, can prevent us from attaining jnanam. Which means, Upanishad just wants to say that how vision of the truth obtaining as one's own self definitely helps on revel the vision of fullness in this very life itself. That is where naturally desire for any pleasure will resolve. Even if the desire is there because of the samsara, the paradha, still one will not be dependent on the fulfillment of the desire for one's happiness. That is the actual fact revealed by saying, oh, devas will prevent, stop one from attaining jnanam. It causes lots of disturbances. Means, it's not really devas are going to cause disturbances. It is said that definitely, knowledge, in knowledge, the desires for any pleasure will naturally resolve. Because the needs will resolve, because this will be vision of fullness. That is the teaching. Anyway, but here, even though it's the literal meaning is over. Now, the next thing is, here Shankara writes the commentary upon this Aham Brahma Asmi. So Shankara's commentary on Aham Brahma Asmi begins with negating some Purvapakshis. Purvapakshi negation is for the clarity, our own clarity. What does Shankara Bhagavatpada do here? That's what we have to see. He negates, who is the Purvapakshi here? Purvapakshi means one who objects this vision. Aham Brahma Asmi is the Jnanam. Okay, it's the vision. So, I itself am the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, which is of the nature of limitlessness, fullness. So, non-nirevahya parambarul. This is the vision. And here, who attains this jnanam? That is the question. Who attains this jnanam? We say Brahma. Brahma eva asit, Brahma avet. Brahman was as jiva in ignorance. And this, in fact, Brahman alone was known as jiva in when there was ignorance. And this Brahma, who was there as jiva, knew itself, discovered itself being Brahma. It means, so jiva discovered its own self being Brahma. Means that is how we say, jiva is Brahma. Jiva does not become Brahma. Jiva is already Brahma. Ignorance, what caused the distance between jiva and Brahma was ignorance. When ignorance is resolved, then distance between jiva and Brahman also is resolved. And the jivatvam goes, the status of being the jiva resolves. And what is only Brahma. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam, we mean Jiva was there, Jiva was Brahma. That is what Upanishad says. Already Jiva was Brahma. When ignorance goes, Jiva's status goes. Brahma status is claimed. That's all. Brahman is already there. There is a Purvapakshi, one particular Purvapakshi called Bhartruprapanchaha. This Bhartruprapanchaha is basically a Vaidikaha. He is not a Nastika. If a Nastika comes as a Purvapakshi, then Shankaracharya will be interested in using logic. The one who, somebody does, who does not accept Veda Shastram, who doesn't consider Veda as the Pramanam, and such a person is a Purvapakshi, one who objects, then Shankara, for him, he won't quote Veda mantras. He only will use logic, the Tarka Shastram, to establish his vision, to give his vision. So this Bhartruprapanchaha is not a Nastika. He is Astikaha, one who has great Shabda in Veda. But still he is a Purapakshi here because here it is difficult for him to accept the Jiva being Brahma. Like all of us. This person, Bhartru Prapancha, is exactly like some of us. Even though Upanishad says, everything is nice, listening to Shastram is very, very nice. But still, how can I say that I am Brahmasmi? I am different from Brahma. How can Jivatma be identical with Paramatma? So Jivatma is only Jivatma. And after knowing Jiva Paramatma, Jiva becomes Paramatma. So Jiva becomes Paramatma. Jivatma becomes Paramatma after knowing. That is his stand. Jivatma was not Paramatma. Jivatma is not Paramatma before. Only after knowing Brahma, Jivatma becomes Paramatma. Whereas this sentence, Brahma va idam agra asit, states, Jivatma was already Paramatma only. Because of the ignorance, the Jivatma status was attributed to Brahman. After knowing, the Jiva status alone is resolved. Paramatma continues to be Paramatma. That's all. There's no becoming. So there's no becoming Paramatma or Brahma. This is the understanding. So here Bhartru Prapancha says, the word Brahma, Brahma Shabdaha, implies only Jivatma. Jivatma is definitely different from Paramatma. Jivatma is different from Paramatma. So, the Jivatma is ignorant, and therefore Jivatma is the one who is bound by karma, bound by samsara. And this Jivatma being ignorant, being bound by samsara, being bound by karma, and is definitely different from Brahman, the Paramatma. So, bound Jivatma, ignorant Jivatma is different from ever free Paramatma. Okay, please listen to what all Bhartruhari is. We are understanding now Bhartruhari. We are going away from the teaching. So what the first point? Jivatma is different from Paramatma. Because Jivatma is ignorant, and therefore Jivatma alone is bound by samsara, bound by karma. Therefore Jivatma is different from Paramatma. One thing. Then, second point he says, this ignorant Jivatma has yet to discover Brahman, has yet to become Brahman. How? After discovering Brahman, then Jivatma has to become Brahman. The second point. So, this ignorant Jivatma, who is bound by limitations, bound by samsara, life of limitations, has to become Brahman after knowing Brahman. Therefore he says, Upanishad here says, Upanishad calls this Jivatma as Brahma. Why does Upanishad call Jivatma as Brahma? Listen, why does Upanishad call Jivatma as Brahma? Because this Jivatma is going to know Brahma. After knowing Brahma, it's going to become Brahma. Well, even before it knowing and becoming Brahma, anyway, it's going to become Brahma by knowing Brahma. Therefore, Upanishad wants to call Jivatma Brahma. he gives his answer. Why does Upanishad say Brahmava idamagra asit? Why does the Upanishad say Brahman alone was there before as Jiva? Why does it say? Because this Upanishad says Jivatma has yet to know. After knowing it's going to become Brahma. So what if I say before itself? Therefore, Jivatma is Brahma, Upanishad says. That is his interpretation of this line. Which means, he makes it very clear, Jivatma is not Brahma before knowledge. We have to be very clear, before knowledge also, Jivatma is Brahman only. After knowledge also, it is Brahman. It doesn't become. It only claims it is already Brahma. But Bhartruprapancha says, because there's ignorance on the part of the Jiva. Therefore, Jivatma is bound by limitations. Therefore, Jivatma is different. So, Alpajnaha, Alpashaktiman. Therefore, different from Paramatma. But Upanishad says, Jiva is Brahma because this ignorant Jiva, after Jnanam, is going to become Brahma. Therefore, we can say in the very beginning itself as Brahma, nothing wrong. So, Upanishad simply, that ends in, as an encouragement, says, Jiva is already Brahma. This is his first one stand. Okay. Now, the next what he says is, Jivatma, after resolving the ignorance, having become Brahma, then Jivatma becomes everything. So until the ignorance is resolved, as long as ignorance is there, Jivatma is different, Jivatma is not Paramatma. This is one important thing, how he presents it. This is how he puts it across. Then the next argument that Bhartruprapancha gives is, he quotes, Bhartruprapancha himself quotes Veda mantras. What he says, when Veda mantras differentiate Paramatma and Jivatma, all the Veda mantras, in any Upanishad, if you read any Veda mantra, always Paramatma is said to be Sakala Kalyana Guna Sampannaha. Brahman is all virtuous, which means Brahman is the locus of all the virtues. Brahman is endowed with all the virtues, which means there is no such a thing called doshaha on the part of Brahman. Brahman is no dosha. There is no defect on the part of Brahman. So, dosha rahita guna purnaha Brahma. Dosha rahita guna purnaha Brahma. It means, Paramatma is only of virtues, devoid of totally any defects. No defect on the part of Paramatma. The Paramatma also has any dosha. How can we call Paramatma, Paramatma? The Paramatma has no doshas. Okay, who says this? Veda says, please understand, the second argument presented by Bhartruprapancha, that in all the Veda mantras, Paramatma is said to be dosha rahita gunapurnaha. I mean, Paramatma is only of virtues, devoid of any dosham, any defect. No defects on the part of Paramatma. And the same Veda mantras, same Veda also says what? What does it say about Jivatma? Jivatma is the one, Jivatma, the different Jivas ended with different virtues. But still, Jiva also has all sorts of vices, all sorts of doshas. We can't say that if there's no dosha at all on the part of Jiva, then where is the Jiva? Jiva means one who has both vices and virtues. Jiva means dosha purnaha, guna sahitaha. Dosha purnaha jivaha, dosha rahitaha paramatma. Paramaha. Therefore, that is why there's a difference. These how Shruti mantra, Veda mantras state, talk about jiva. The jivaha has all sorts of vices also. Not only vices, that the jiva is a mixture of both virtues and vices. There's no jiva who is totally free from the doshas. Dosha rahitaha jivaha is not there. That's why we say Purushottama. Bhagavan is called Purushottama because the only Purushottama who is free from completely all doshas is Bhagavan. Paramatma we say. Therefore, this is the difference. Second thing, and Paramatma is ever free and Jivatma is called Samsari, the bound. Why should Veda say that? Jivatma is bound, Samsari. Paramatma is ever free. And Paramatma is Shuddha. Paramatma is Shuddha means free from all doshas. Therefore it is only virtues are there. Guna Sampannaha. Whereas Jivatma is Guna. Jivatma has some virtues, but more of doshas. And Jivatma is dragged after life after life after life because of the karma. Jiva is, dragged to the life. There's no freedom because of the parardha karma, he is brought into samsara again and again and again. And jiva travels to, because of punyam, he can go to higher lokas, enjoy higher pleasures. And when the punyam gets exhausted, he comes to the martyaloka, which means, and there's a possibility of jiva becoming, the manishya jiva can become even a plant or an animal also. Okay? And this is what is said, talked about jiva in the Veda mantras. It means human, the jivaha has karma phalam. Therefore, jiva is to exhaust the karma phalam. He travels everywhere. He can go to higher lokas to exhaust the punya phalam. He comes down to matya loka to exhaust the punya papa phalam. And then suppose when he has to exhaust only papa phalam, there's a possibility of becoming even a plant and animal also. Therefore, jiva is a samsari. Jiva is dosha purnaha. Now, Paramatma is dosha rahitaha, and Paramatma doesn't go to, this is not said to be going to any lokas. Paramatma is the bestower of all forms of pleasures, all forms of karma phalani. Therefore, the receiver of karma phalam, enjoyer of karma phalam, time-bound results of actions, and Paramatma, the bestower of karma phalam, all karma phalams, they are different. Therefore, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. Okay, this is the second argument. Hope you remember this difference. And who is searching for Paramatma? Paramatma does not search for Jivatma. Okay, Jivatma alone is searching for Paramatma. And it's also the mantra state. What is it? All the Veda mantras say, Jivatma alone is searching for Paramatma. Paramatma is never said to be searching for Jivatma. Therefore, this itself is proof that Jivatma is different from Paramatma. It's all, this is a second thing. No. It's all second, argument. A third argument he presents. See, not only he says, he also quotes other people that all other philosophers means what here? Tarkikaha, logician, the Nayayikaha, yoga philosopher, Sankhya philosopher, So all of them, all these people of other schools of thought, all of them, you, one voice, no? They say, they all accept the fact that Paramatma is different from Jivatma, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. Why? Because Paramatma has no, Paramatma is free from karma. Whereas, Paramatma is free from karma. And second, whereas Jivatma has karma. And second thing, Paramatma is always of the nature of happiness. Paramatma is always, you know, in blissful state. Because this is this is what all the philosophers say. So Bhartra Prapancha takes this. All the philosophers also say this. When Paramatma is always in a blissful state, according to their expression, okay? I'm not saying blissful state. Paramatma is ever of the nature of happiness, ever of the nature of fullness. And here, what about the Jiva here? Paramatma, Jiva being endowed with ignorance, and Jiva here is what now? Is also samsari. Jiva suffering. Jiva has no Purna Anandaha. Jiva has only time, enjoys time-bound pleasures. Jiva goes through a lot of miseries. This is the difference. Then explain this difference. Therefore, this Jivatma is samsari who is going through the miseries. Paramatma is of the nature of happiness, ever of the nature of happiness. Therefore, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. This is the one argument presented by all the philosophers also, along with Bhartra Prapancha. So here, Bhartra Prapancha, this is the third reason. And the fourth argument he presents is, he says, as individuals, we are living our lives now, and we have our own experience. Our own experience, day-to-day experience is the proof that we are not able to identify ourselves with Brahma. So maybe after the attainment of knowledge, we can become Brahma. We are not able to identify now, being ignorant. And in our experience, do we need to say, I am different from Paramatma? Do we not need to say? It's already understood, I am different from Paramatma with all my limitations, with all my pains, physical pains, and emotional problems I go through. It is very clear, I am an individual different from Paramatma. Therefore, I am not Brahman. It is very difficult to accept for anybody to say, I am Brahmasmi. I am not Brahman, I am only a Jiva going through all sorts of problems in life. This experience itself is very, very, makes it very clear that I am not Brahma. I am not Paramatma. And say, because I am not even, if I say I am Paramatma, I should also claim what? Jagat Karanam. I am the cause of the universe. So I, the Paramatma, I am cause of the universe. Therefore, I am not Paramatma, I am not Jagat Karanam. Okay? This is also, our experience also states this. Everyday experience, that is what we understand. It is very obvious for us, very clear for us. Therefore, these are the four different reasons the Bhartra Prapanchaha presents to state that how Jivatma is different from Paramatma. But he also says, this Jivatma, after attaining the knowledge, becomes Paramatma. So even though he sounds very correct, Yes, Jivatma is different. It is like what all of us say, the same thing. Not something different he says. We also say that. Oh, Upanishad says, Aham Brahmasmi. Where is that? I do listen to Upanishad classes. I do understand that. I seem to be understanding in the classes, but still I go through all the problems. I doubt, well, am I Paramatma? How am I Paramatma? It is possible for us to think that way. Therefore, these four reasons, Bhartu Prapanchaha present, to say how Jiva is different from Paramatma. But here, so Shankar Bhagavatpada now has to refute all his views. The thing is, Bhartru Prapancha does not say that Jiva cannot deny this. He says Jiva does become Paramatma after knowing, that he accepts. He doesn't say Jiva continues to be Jiva forever. That he doesn't say. Jivatma can become Paramatma. Jiva becomes Paramatma after the attainment of knowledge of Brahman. So until knowledge takes place, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. This is his argument. Because there's a misery, there's samsara, there's limitations, all the problems. Now Shankaracharya has to begin. First, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, the answer, okay? The answer comes now. If Paramatma, Brahman, is Jivatma, Upanishad says, now let's listen to the Upanishad statement. Atmanam eva avet. Atmanam eva avet. Read the sentence of Upanishad. Atmanam eva avet. Which means, if we say Jivatma before knowing Paramatma, Jivatma is not Paramatma. Before knowing Paramatma, Jivatma is not Paramatma is Bhartru Prapancha's argument. So Shankara says, if you say Jivatma is not Paramatma before knowing Paramatma, then read this Upanishadic statement. Atmanam eva avet. So tad atmanam eva avet. And Upanishad says, tad atmanam eva avet, it means Brahman knew itself. Brahman discovered itself. Suppose if you say the Jiva was different, then tad avet means that word tad, you say Jivatma. So Jivatma knew itself. If Jivatma knew itself, then the question is, how did Jivatma know? Aham Brahma Asmi Iti. So Jivatma was there before and Jivatma knew itself. So Aham Jivatma. And after the Jnanam, Sarvam Abhavat. So the Jivatma gets Sarvatma Bhavaha. The first thing is, if we say Jivatma knew itself, Jivatma knew itself, then it is Brahma. How did Jivatma know? It is Brahma. But the first question, Shankara says, Shankara's thing. And second thing, if Jivatma knew itself, and you cannot call it a Brahma Vidya, Jivatma knew itself, means a jiva, it's a jiva vidya, not Brahma vidya, isn't it? We say jiva new means we cannot call it a Brahma vidya. You have to call it a jiva vidya. In fact, jiva swarupa vidya, you can say. Jiva swarupa means Brahma. But here we can't call it Brahma vidya. If the jivatma is different and jivatma knows itself, being Brahman means, how did Jivatma, no. And second, we cannot call this Brahma Vidya. We should call it Jiva Vidya, Jivatma Vidya. Second thing, and we have to say Sarvam Abhavata when we say, so Jiva Vidyaya, by knowing the Jivatma, by knowing itself, the Jivatma, Jiva became everything. It must have been a statement. But now here we say, Brahman Vidyaya Jivaha Sarvam Bhavati. Jiva, by knowing itself, it becomes everything. Therefore, if Jiva wasn't already Brahma, Jiva, by knowing Brahma, Jiva cannot become Brahma. Then having become Brahma, it cannot become everything also. Becoming everything is not possible. If that is the case, then even what is the Brahma Swarupam? Upanishads need not talk about Brahma Swarupam. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. Why should Upanishad talk about Brahma Swarupam? If Jiva, after knowing Brahman, becomes Brahman, means Upanishad need not explain that Brahman is Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. The very fact, Upanishad tells Brahma Swarupam. And how does Jivatma arrive at Brahma Swarupam? By only knowing its own Swarupam. Isn't it? An important point here is, how does Jivatma arrive at the Brahma Swarupam? Suppose it says, suppose Jnanam. How does Jivatma arrive at the Brahma Swarupam, Brahman being Jnanam, pure knowledge? Jivatma, only by analyzing its own Swarupam, it arrives at the Jnanam. What is the way? How can anyone arrive at the Jnanam? This is a very important thing you have to know. See, one thing you understand today, it's enough. How does one arrive at the pure knowledge? Otherwise, we could have used other methods also. Why Drikthishiveka Prakriya? Why is the Upanishad used this prakriya? The very prakriya is used finally to arrive at the I. Drikthishiveka prakriya is itself is used to for you to distinguish I. And once you arrive at the I, why should you distinguish the I? Because that is where the abstract reality implied by the term Brahman is available for recognition. Where do you arrive at it? How do you arrive at the reality? Why does Shastram, the first basic argument, okay? Please take understand. Why does the Upanishad introduce this in, of course, this methodology itself, this Drishya Veka Prakriya itself is introduced. Know why? To distinguish you. Who is the Jiva? Who is the one who says I all the time? We say I say that. Who are you then? I am the Jiva. I am the individual with all limitations, with all problems. That's fine. Now, Upanishad says, yes, this Jiva who claims to be, who you always refers to oneself as I, and saying that all the problems I have, etc. Who is this I? And Upanishad first thing helps you to distinguish the I. And after having distinguished the I, where do you arrive at the Brahma Swarupam? Brahman is Satyam Jnanam. Upanishad says Jnanam Brahma. You arrive at the reality. Brahman is only a word implying the reality. And you arrive at the reality implied by the term Brahma. How in term, what, in what Swarupam? What form? Do you see any other form? What form do you arrive at? In what form does what form does reality obtain? How do you arrive at it? So reality obtains in the form of pure jnanam, pure knowledge. How do you arrive at pure knowledge? Now you all think for yourself. Please, you all think for yourself. How do you arrive at pure knowledge? What do you understand by pure knowledge? Shuddha jnanam, shuddha chaitanyam, pure consciousness. How do you arrive at it? Only by distinguishing the I and by understanding what this I is. In fact, you arrive at Brahman as your Swarupam because you are already Brahma. If you are not already Brahma, Brahma Swarupam cannot be arrived at. You never arrive at Brahman as an object. Brahman is only a word. What is the substance of the substantive Brahma? What is the substance of the substantive Brahma? You arrive at it not as existence, not as limitlessness. You arrive at it only as pure jnanam first. First pure knowledge only. And for you to understand what pure knowledge is, you are analyzing only what? You have already have understood. You negate this body as anatma. You negate this mind as the sensor as anatma. You negate every thought is an object of knowledge. And what cannot be negated is what? Non-negatable is what you arrive at the I. Because for everything is evident to you, you arrive at the I, and then that aham, you ask, what is aham? Does this aham always there? You have to say it is knowledge. Does this knowledge I always exist? You have to see that. No. This knowledge I is there sometimes, it is not there sometimes. And that is known. This knowledge I is known. Knowledge I being not there also is known. That is how you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Reality is, it is no way of describing the reality. We arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. And you see exactly what this I is. It I comes and goes. When the I is, when the I is not. Still what is, what is the source of the I. And the source of the I, what form does it obtain? You arrive at it in terms of its nature of knowing. Because it knows. That which knows, janati iti jnanam. That which knows is knowledge. Why does it know? Because it knows, it's knowing its nature. What does it know? It knows what is not. What is known, what is not also is known. Knowledge is, it is known. Knowledge is not, is also known. World is known. World is not, is also known. Pain is known. Pain is not, is known. Duality is there, is known. Duality is not there is also known. So, what is known, what is not there is also known. Which means, what is that which knows the presence and the absence? What is that which knows what is and what is not? What is that which knows being always what is and what is not? Iruppadayum illadayum arivadu. That which knows what is, that which knows what is not. That which knows what the world is, that which knows the world is not. That which knows I is, that which knows I is not. So why does it know? We say that's why knowing that which knows is the truth. That which knows is jnanam. That which knows the presence of the world be absence of the world, that which experiences, that which knows the duality, that which knows the non-dual, that which is because of which non-dual experience is possible. What is that which is always? When there's duality, experience of duality, knowing the experience of duality, there is something. And knowing the duality being not there, what is there? And that knower, we say, that which knows is knowledge. எது அறிகிறதோ அது அறிவு. That which knows the world, presence of the world, that which knows the world being not there, that which knows the duality, that which knows the duality being not there, that which knows the plurality, that which knows the plurality not being not there, that which knows something being there, that which knows nothing being there, that which knows everything being there, that which knows nothing being there. This everything being there is known in the waking state. Nothing being there is known in the deep sleep state. So nothingness is also known. Everything is also known. Waking, the whole world is there. Means you say everything is here. Time is, space is, sun is, moon is, everything is. Everything being there is known. In deep, we say nothing is known. Nothing being there is also known. So nothingness is known. Everything else is also known. Which means that which knows nothingness, that which knows everything, that which knows the world, presence of the world, that which knows the world being not there, that which knows the duality, that which knows the duality being not there, that which knows is jnanam. Okay? This is how you arrive at the, what no? Reality implied by the word Brahma. And you, how do you say? In what form does it obtain? You have to say jnana swarupam, jnana rupam. Knowing is the swarupam, it is in the form of knowledge. Jnana rupam Brahma, jnana swarupam Brahma. When it says swarupam, knowing is the nature, and reality obtained in the form of knowledge, jnana. I know Bhakti Prapancha is a little boring, but you can't help. It is simple argument, isn't it? Like we all have this. People who listen to Vedanta also have this. What I understand everything. When I walk, when I think, when I go through, what if I am Brahma, why should I slog like this? The question comes again. Again, where do you place your eye? If I am Brahmasmi, then why should I slog like this? Where you place your eye? You place your eye on the body, of course you are slogging. You can't, you are eating, you are drinking, you are sleeping, you are hungry, you are thirsty. But you place your eye in what exactly it is. You can see, of course still there will be hunger, thirst, everything. But you will be objective towards what is happening. So where can you locate this eye? Where is the jiva here? Who is the jiva here? Who is the jiva here? Therefore, is there a jiva other than Brahma? No. Is there a jiva other than Brahma? Therefore, when you, Sri Shankara's first thing is, see, when you say, Upanishad mantra, he cannot deny. Upanishad says, he accepts what Upanishad says. And we all accept what Upanishad says. We already have Shastra Pramanya Buddhi. We already accept Shastram as the Pramanam. And what Shastram says here, what Upanishad says here is, na, Atmanam eva avet means Jiva knew itself. If we say what knew Brahman was not Brahman before, தன்னை தான் அறிந்தது. இட் நியூ இட் செல்ஃப் வென் யூ சே வாட் வாஸ் தட் விச் நியூ இட் செல்ஃப். வர்த்த பிரபஞ்சா சேஸ் ஜீவா, உபனிஷத் சேஸ் பிரம்மா. நவ் லெட் மீ டு மேக் இட் வெரி கிளியர். வென் உபனிஷத் ஸ்டேட்ஸ் இட் நியூ இட் செல்ஃப், தத் ஆத்மானம் அவேத், தத் ஆத்மானம் அவேத், இட் நியூ இட் செல்ஃப், இட் டிஸ்கவர்டு இட் செல்ஃப். உபனிஷத் சேஸ் தட் இட், டஸ் இட் மீன் ஜீவா, டஸ் இட் மீன் பிரம்மா? உபனிஷத் சேஸ் வாட் நியூ இட் செல்ஃப் வாஸ் பிரம்மா. பர்த்ரு பிரபஞ்சா சேஸ் தட் விச் நியூ இட் செல்ஃப் வாஸ் ஜீவா. ஓகே, உபனிஷத் சேஸ் எஸ் ஜீவா இஸ் ஓன்லி எ நேம் ஃபார் த சேம் பிரம்மா. ஜீவா இஸ் ஓன்லி, யூ காட் இட்? Hope you're all with me. Jiva is only a name given for Brahma. What knew itself was Brahman only. There was no Jiva sitting separately other than Brahma. Therefore, if you say Tad the Jiva, then you cannot call it a Brahma Vidya. What was Brahma? What is now is Brahma. What was before was ignorance. What after Jnanam is Jnanam. But one thing is knowing, when you say two different names, that's all, given to the same thing. If Jiva was already different from Brahma, then after knowing it doesn't become Brahma. Because in fact Brahman itself is arrived at as the Surupam of the Jiva only. You got the point? How do you arrive at the Brahma? Brahman itself is arrived at only as the Surupam of the Jiva. Otherwise you can, Upanishad need not tell Jnanam Brahma. And you search for Jnanam. What is pure knowledge? What is pure knowledge? Everything is object of knowledge here. Whatever you know here in the world is object of knowledge, object of knowledge. You never arrive at the source of knowledge. You say, I know. Whatever you say, I know, finished. I know means you are only arriving at the object of knowledge. We can never arrive at the source of knowledge. When you arrive at the source of knowledge, you don't say, I know this reality. You have to say, I am the source of knowledge. Is it clear? I am the source of knowledge. If you arrive at the source of knowledge as being Brahman, as your own self, arriving at the source of I, you arrive at the source of knowledge. Only then you understand, when you arrive at the source of knowledge as the truth of I, you come to know the fact that I itself is manifestation of knowledge. I, the Jiva, is what? Only manifestation of knowledge. When do you understand that? I is manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of thought which comes and goes. When do you arrive at it? Only when you arrive at the Swarupam, the source of knowledge. You arrive at the source of knowledge as the source of I. Arrive at the source of knowledge as the source of I. Only then you understand the fact this I itself is what? Manifestation of knowledge. And that is how you resolve. It is like peeling an onion. When you start peeling the onion, you want to arrive at the center point of the onion. Keep on peeling. And what do you arrive at? Similarly, you negate everything as, is it? You are able, you negate everything. And what can we negate is I. And that I, you, if you see, it cannot stand by itself. It will resolve in pure knowledge. Resolve means what? You cannot say, where does this I exist? Aham. So aham, this aham, Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Means you have to say, aham Brahma Asmi. Because what is the source of aham? If you arrive at the source of knowledge, you have to go to source of I. And so arrive at the source of I, you understand I itself being manifestation of knowledge. And what was this I before? Before the manifestation, it was Brahma. What is Brahma? Pure knowledge. So when was it away? When was this, when is the wave away from the water? When is the wave away from the water? When is the wave distant from the water? When the wave is not there. When the wave is not there. Can you say it's away from Brahman? Can we say when the wave is not there? Wave is away from Brahman? Or when the wave goes back, it becomes Brahman. And it becomes water. When is the wave away from water? When does the wave become water? When does the wave become water? Can wave ever become water? Does the wave need to become water? Before rising, the wave was just the water. After rising as a wave, it is wave is still the water. And when the wave resolves also, it is water. Isn't it? Similarly here, this aham, before rising, it was, before manifesting, that it was Brahma. After manifesting, it is Brahma. And in ignorance, ajnana avasthayam, in ignorance, it is when it wrong identity, it has the jiva status. Ajnana avasthayam, in wrong identity, it has the jiva status. And all these some miseries, it goes through as a jiva. Of course, we don't deny that. As a jiva status. Without the jiva status, there can't be experience. There can't be duality. There can't be punya papa. There can't be karma. But jiva by itself, who is this jiva? Jiva is only a temporary status attributed to the same Brahma, one indivisible, partless whole, the pure consciousness implied by the term Brahma, gets the temporary status of being the jiva. If identity is not there, wrong identity is not there, in jnanam is there, you can say wave is water. So aham Brahma Asmi. Isn't it? Aham Brahma Asmi always. In ignorance, there's a jiva status. In knowledge, Brahman. Before jnanam also, in ajnana avasthayam also, jiva was Brahman. In jnana avasthayam also, jiva is Brahman. Only thing is, the status, the temporary status, jiva is a status attributed to Brahma in ignorance. Therefore, all samsara, because the ajnanam and the wrong identity. Otherwise, the very question, how, if we, otherwise we should say what? Jiva nu tad atmanameva avet means, jiva nu itself means it will be jiva vidya. If jiva is different from Brahman, it would have been it should have been called Jeeva Vidya, not Brahma Vidya. Isn't it true? Tadi Atmanameva Avet. Atmanameva Avet means what? It discovered itself. It knew itself. Tannetan Arindadu. When the sentence is given, it knew itself. Then Jeeva knew itself. So before Jeeva was ignorant of itself. And later on, Jeeva discovered itself. As what? Being Brahma. It means, why should Upanishad call it a Brahma Vidya, not Jeeva Vidya? Brahman is not Jeeva, whereas Jeeva is Brahma. Okay? A very important lesson is what? Brahman is not Jeeva, but Jeeva is Brahma. Why does Upanishad call it a Brahma Vidya, not Jeeva Vidya? Because Brahman is not Jeeva. Brahman is not Jeeva. But Jeeva is nothing but Brahma. So Brahma Jeevaha Asti. Upanishad statement, Brahma Jeevaha Asti is not a statement. Aikya statement. No? Jeeva Aham Brahma Asmi. Brahma Aham Asmi is not the statement. Why did Upanishad not say Brahma Aham Asmi? Why did Upanishad say Aham Brahma Asmi? So Brahman is not I, but I is Brahma. That is why it is not Jeeva Vidya, it is Brahma Vidya. And how do you arrive at the Brahman? As the Swarupam of I. If Brahman, if Jivatma is different from Brahma, and then when you arrive at the Jivatma Swarupam, you wouldn't have arrived at the Brahman. Isn't it? Suppose if water is not the truth of the wave, if water is different from the wave, or if the wave is different from the water, then you cannot arrive at the water as the truth of the wave. If water is, the wave is different from the water or ocean, then you cannot arrive at the water as the truth of the wave. The very fact you are able to arrive at the water as the truth of the wave, because wave is never away from, different from water. Similarly here, the Jeeva Swarupam being Brahman, you arrive at the Jeeva's Brahman as the Swarupam of Jeevatma, because Jeeva is non-separate from Brahma. Have you got the point? At least one point we made today very clear, because I just came running, waking up from this. See, I started with four arguments of Bhartru Prapancha. Before I repeat again, like next class. But now at least one point is very clear, isn't it? Atmanameva Avet. It is not Jeeva, Jeevatma Vidya. It's a Brahma Vidya. The very fact is called Brahma Vidya because what is discovered is Brahma Swarupam. And that Brahma Swarupam is discovered as the Swarupam of the Jeeva only. It is not known as anything else. Any questions? I'm stopping here. Any questions? The rest, I'll present all the Bhartru Prapanchas, all the four points again next class, and then I'll continue where I left. Shankara's commentary will continue next class. How Shankara beautifully is going to answer. And as I told you, when usually Shankara likes logics, you know, he likes tarka. He always logically proves. You like to logically explain. But only to Bhartru Prapancha, he doesn't use logic much. He only uses Veda mantras. Why? Because Bhartru Prapancha is the Vaidika. It's easy to tackle a Vaidika, isn't it? An Avaidika means, who doesn't accept Veda means, okay, let me come out of the Veda and let me make you see. He has to say, use the Tarka. Tarka Pramanam he has to use. But now, We can't as a pramanam. He only say he can logically, he will explain, he'll establish how Vedantic statements do not contradict reasoning. And know what important thing? The next important thing is, what is the jnana vishayaha? What is the jnana ashrayaha? Okay, jnana ashrayaha, jnana vishayaha. Source of knowledge is jnana ashrayaha. Object of knowledge is jnana vishayaha. Jnana vishayaha, jnana ashrayaha. Now, the thing is, when you say, this jivatma knew Brahman, when you say, definitely jivatma knew Brahman means what? Aham Brahmasmi, jivatma discovers Paramatma as its own sorupam. It means jivatma is not jivatma. Jivatma is already Paramatma. Now when you say, here the knower is the knower subject is the jnana ashrayaha, the source of knowledge. The knower subject is the source of knowledge. The known is the jnana vishayaha, object of knowledge. Here, Brahman is the object of knowledge. Brahman is the source of knowledge also. So before jnana, what means what? Where is ignorance now? If we say one can be a source of knowledge, one can be a source of ignorance also, relatively. Ignorance also. I'll tell you what it is. If I say I know Tamil, Tamil is what? Language is object of my knowledge. And I am the jnana ashrayaha. I am the jnana. Tamil is jnana vishayaha. I am the jnana ashrayaha. If I say, I do not know French, French is object of my ignorance. And where is the ignorance of, who is the ajnana ashraya? Who is the ajnana ashraya? I am the ajnana ashraya, isn't it? So, one person can be ajnana ashraya. The person can be ajnana ashraya also. Jnana ashrayaha, with reference to Tamil language, I am jnana ashrayaha. With reference to French language, I am ajnana ashrayaha. French is object of ignorance and Tamil is object of knowledge. Now we say, if Brahman is the knower, jivatma is Brahma, if we say, Brahman is the knower and Brahman is the known. And Brahma Ajnanam, who Jiva is Brahma Ajnani. Isn't it? Jiva is Brahma Ajnani. Jiva is Brahma Ajnani. Jiva is ignorant of Brahman. So object of ignorance is Brahman. And the one who is ignorant of Brahman is Jiva is ignorant of Brahman. Now Jiva is what? Ajnana Ashrayaha. Brahman is Ajnana Vishayaha. If we say this jiva is Brahma, the Brahman will become what? Brahman will be ajnana ashrayaha. Got the point? If we say jivatma can be ajnana ashraya, Brahman can be ajnana vishaya, that is fine. If we say jivatma is Brahma, then you make Brahman an ajnana ashraya. It is an itching thing for Bhartru Prapancha. How can you say Brahman, Swayam Prakasha Atma Brahma, the pure knowledge Brahman, how can you say Brahman is the ajnana ashraya? Brahman is locus of ignorance. How can you say that? You got it? This is his difficult point. No, I want to say Jiva is ignorant. Ajnana Ashrayaha. Brahman cannot be Ajnana Ashrayaha. If you say Jiva is Brahma, then you are making Brahman Ajnana Ashraya, a source of ignorance. Locus of ignorance. Now, Shankara says, yes. A conscious being alone can be locus of ignorance. An inert thing cannot be locus of ignorance. If inert thing can be a locus of ignorance, and every inert thing can be educated, we can remove the ignorance, isn't it? And when we go to school and sit on the table and chair, and the table and chair will push us out. I have come here to school to study. Why do you sit on me? Who is given the knowledge here? An inert thing cannot be a locus of ignorance. A conscious being alone can be a locus of ignorance. So ignorance cannot be, is it clear now? No table is ignorant. No chair is ignorant. No wall is not ignorant. We can't give a status. An inert thing cannot be a locus of ignorance. Therefore, if we say this Jivatma is Ajnana Ashreha, if we say, yes, this Jivatma Ajnana Ashreha is definitely Brahma. Brahman is Ajnana Ashreha, Brahman is Jnana Ashreha also. And Ajnanam can be resolved in the very Brahman. Dissolve the Ajnanam in Brahma, you see Brahman being pure, only Jnanam. You can resolve Ajnanam in Jnanam, isn't it? Ajnanam can be resolved in Jnanam. And once Ajnanam is resolved, what is only pure Jnanam. So this is an important lesson. So Jnana Ashrayaha. Jnana Vishayaha. Later on, we are going to understand Jnana Vishayaha is Brahma. Jnana Ashrayaha is also Brahma. Ajnana Vishayaha is also Brahma. Ajnana Ashrayaha is also Brahma. And that Brahma, which is Jnana Ajnana Yoho Ashrayaha Brahma, is Suddham Jnanam. This Bhatra Prapancha's question is this. How can Brahman be the Ajnana Ashrayaha? If we say Jivatma is Ajnana Ashraya, and if we say Jivatma is Brahma, we are making Brahman Ajnana Ashraya. We have to be very clear. Yes. Ajnanam does not have independent existence of its own. Ajnana also exists only in Brahma. See, relatively we have this Jnana Ashraya, Jnana Vishaya. I know the book means book is Jnana Vishaya. The person who knows the book is Jnana Ashraya. Similarly, the person who does not know something is Ajnana Ashraya. The object unknown is the Ajnana Vishaya. Object of knowledge is Jnana Vishaya. The knower of object is Jnana Ashraya. So similarly, the person who is the object of ignorance is Ajnana Vishaya. The person who is ignorant of the object is Ajnana Ashrayaha. If we say Jiva is Brahma, then Jiva is the Ajnana Ashrayaha, means Brahman becomes Ajnana Ashrayaha. How can Brahman be the Ajnanashraya? Yes, Brahman is the Ajnanashraya. You have to understand. We'll see in the next class. Was it clear? At least in the beginning, it was a little dragging. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.